Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome back to Upfront at the Euros. I'm Flo Lloyd Hughes.
I'm Chloe Morgan.
And I'm Rachel O'Sullivan.
We're starting to see who might be in with a shot of the trophy as Netherlands impress again, though Portugal didn't make it easy. Sweden kept close behind them with a little moment of WSL quality giving them the edge over Switzerland. We also look back over Wednesday's games as Germany beat Spain at Brentford and Denmark got one over Finland. Could the Danes end up going through? A lot of question marks, guys. A lot of what might have been a lot of surprises. Not that many shocks as of yet, but a whole lot of football.
You said there we're starting to see who might go through. I feel like I'm still none the wiser.
Well, Group C is wide open, which is the group involving Holland, Sweden, Switzerland and Portugal. The others are a little bit more, we kind of know what's going on. But that one in particular, which they were all their games were on Wednesday. God, I have literally no idea what day of the week it is now. they were all on Wednesday. That one, like, I think it's very confusing, but I think all four could go through. I mean, okay, I'm going to get, let's actually talk about the football because now I'm jumping ahead into too much. But we're all dialing in from various locations. I am in a slightly dodgy travel lodge in Warrington.
Stay safe, Flo.
There are bloodstains on my carpet, not gonna lie, guys.
We're all a bit worried about her.
And yeah, it was touch and go. But
the next pod just could be me and Rachel. Yeah.
Who knows if I'm gonna get back to London. Rachel, where are you?
I'm in a Hilton in Sheffield. It's much nicer than yours by the sounds
of
it.
I'm so jealous. Hilton.
I'm so jealous. And Chloe, where are you?
I'm at home. Yeah, I've just rolled out my comfy little bed onto my desk. Very safe, no bloodstains. Yeah.
Oh, so gel.
A dream.
Well, let's kick off. So the reason I'm in this travel agent in Warrington is I'm not on holiday. It's because I was at Netherlands.
Butlins.
It's because I was at Netherlands, Portugal at Lee, which is basically Wigan, just outside of Manchester. It was a cracking game, 3-2 to the Netherlands in the end. I wasn't sure what this game was going to be like. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was a bit of like eye roll when I saw it on my schedule because Lee is so far away. And I thought it's going to be so one-sided. boy, was I wrong, because Portugal, as much as they are shocking at defending, they are sensational going forward. And it was such an exciting game from start to finish.
That was very much a who needs defending, let's just have fun kind of going forward vibes.
No defending, just vibes.
Yeah, it was chaotic at best, but very fun to watch.
I think I was just so impressed with Portugal. I think I was like you, Flo. I thought I saw the match. I thought, you know what, I'll tune in, see what it's about. Probably tune out after the first 5 minutes, thinking that Netherlands would have taken them apart. But I mean, to be fair, they kind of did for the first part of the game. But I was just so impressed with how tenacious and passionate the Portuguese were. I mean, they were obviously such late additions into the competition, won't have had too much time to prepare. And it feels like they've thought, you know what, YOLO, sod it. Let's see what we could do here. And to put a side like that under the cosh for the entire game and make them stress out until the very late minutes of the game, I thought was amazing for them. So yeah, congrats, man.
It's very much like no pressure, no expectations on them, which must be quite, I guess, freeing. And you kind of see that in their play. They're just like, go at teams. There's none of this kind of sitting back, just trying to absorb pressure or anything. They're like, nah, we need goals. If we want to get points, we need goals. And that's the goal. The goal's the goal.
Yeah, and they could have even had the lead initially, because they had a goal that was ruled out for offside, Pinto, in the like third minute. And it took, I actually thought they'd taken the lead, because I was looking down making notes and I hadn't even clocked that they'd ruled out for VAR. And then a few minutes later, Holland took the lead, and I was like, oh, 1-0. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, it's actually 1-0, because the other one was ruled out for offside. And it must have been frustrating for Portugal, because they concede two goals within 10 minutes of each other, and they were both from corners and both pretty bad defending. Sherida Spitzer whipping in balls. She is very good with her delivery. It was Eggerola with the first header, and then Van de Graat with the second header, in which she kind of like smashed her face in the same time.
Again, another head injury for that girl.
What is
Jesus
it with
Christ.
The Dutch girls and like smashing,
just
so
passionate.
Into things?
Yeah.
It's the same girl. She's with the head injury from the first match.
It's
concussion smashing.
Clearly.
Got to get those goals.
But going 2-0 down, the Portuguese did not let that dent them. You're right. Like, you guys both spoke about it. It's just like they've got so much drive. They're really kind of enjoying this underdog. Wow, that's a new version.
What's that? Wow. That's like
that's
like a new
elevated.
Name for devil.
Undergod. I'm not just an underdog. I'm an undergod.
Things have happened to you in that room, man.
Oh God, seriously,
just be possessed.
I've seen some shit. But you think about it. They came from two goals down against Switzerland, and they came from two goals down to get within a few minutes of getting, well, not a few minutes, quite like, they had to hold on for about half an hour to try and get a point, but they get a goal not long before half time through a penalty from Costa. Good penalty as well. I don't know why it even needs to go to VAR, because it
How
was a stone cold.
How long did that take?
Too
I feel
long.
Like I aged.
But it was the angles of it. I think there was a couple of angles that they showed that it looked like she'd just fallen over on herself. And then there was an angle from behind that then showed the foot in. And I thought, yeah, absolutely, 100%. But I was with the ref. I was like, oh, no, she's fallen over. She's making a big deal out of it. But, I mean, it was a beautiful penalty. So coolly taken. And, you know, Dom Salah had absolutely no chance of saving that.
There was an offside as well that went to VAR. And honestly, God, I felt like...
Forever.
Felt like we were into week two of the Euros by the time they got round. Like, as soon as I saw it, like the first replay, we were both like, oh, that's offside. And yet, it was like, I need it from a different angle. Someone, I think it was Tim Stillman, who tweeted, maybe the VAR are using like real VHS, so they're like fast forward rewinding it every time for the referee. And that would have made some sense.
It felt like that. I mean, people, like, I was doing updates for radio, and they were in my ear being like, Flo, do you know why the delay is taking so long? And I was like, no, because it's so clearly, because they were watching, obviously, the BBC coverage in the studio, and they were like, it's so clearly offside, I don't know what they're doing. And I was like, me neither. There's no, like, it just said, they're not checking for anything else. It says on my monitor here, offside check. Anyway, that was for the Jill Roald goal, which would have made it 3-2 after Diana Silva gets Portugal's equaliser just after half time. That's Jill Roald's goal's ruled out. Unfortunately for Portugal and fortunately for the Dutch, Daniel van der Dog does get the third goal and eventually get Holland the win with an absolute screamer. And that's probably what is going to get Holland through this entire tournament, is just the sheer individual quality, because some of the tactical decisions have been slightly questionable for Mark Parsons. We know their defence is pretty shaky, but they've just still got individual quality in Jill Roard and Daniel Vanderdonk. Obviously, Miedemeyer is out with COVID. Jackie Groen out with COVID. Lika Martins looks a little bit off the pace. But they've got good players there, and I feel like they're going to bundle their way through to the quarterfinals, and we'll see what happens beyond that.
Yeah, I think once Miedema and Groenen come back, that will give them a little bit of solidity. It's not going to shore up their defence, but in terms of playmaking opportunities, I do think they weren't missing yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could tell, I think they looked slightly shakier going forwards. But I mean, I've just got to go back to that Van der Donk goal, because my God, I think that's probably one of the goals of the tournament so far. It was just such a worldly finish. They're absolutely starting to shit themselves that this might not be going their way. And she pulls that one out of the bag with quite effortless ease. Yeah, bringing them home the points. And yeah, I've got to agree with you. I just hope that the COVID infection doesn't spread throughout the rest of the team, because it feels like they're all going to take a chance at, off at some point in the next few games coming up. So, well, if they make it through, which I think they will.
Yeah, we've had a few sort of like mini COVID outbreaks, although good to see Lotte Webber-Moy back in training for England yesterday. I think people are coming back fairly quickly. So Miedemar and Groenen could even be back for that final group game. Also, shout out the Dutch fans, because I was under the impression that they would not be doing the march in leagues. When I was asking lots of fans, they didn't think they were doing it either. But they managed to find some town centre. Nobody seems to know where it was, but some town centre within 15 minutes walk of Lee Sports Village. And it was like out of nowhere. I could hear, suddenly I just heard these distant foghorns and brass instruments. And I was like, what's that? And then I saw some orange in like the far sort of like east corner of Lee Sports Village, and then some Dutch flags just emerged, and there the bus was, there everyone was. And I think for the locals and for the neutrals, like, that was really important, because they needed the vibes. And also shout out the Portuguese drummer that was like 10 yards from me and giving me honestly like a migraine with his drumming, because his arm must have been so tired because it did not stop. So yeah, the atmosphere was good at Lee Sports Village as well.
Flo, you and I had the pleasure of joining the Dutch fan march before the Sweden game, and that was absolutely epic. The fan park was unmatched. They had awesome house music, Dutch house music and stuff playing beforehand, and the Dutch fans were loving it. It did come down slightly in vibes when they brought on a local singer to sing Nessun Dorma and You Raise
and
Me Up.
Life.
But then it went back up to the Dutch house music.
What was his name? Like Joe?
I don't want to give his name, because it's not his fault. His agent booked him onto this and didn't tell him it was going to be like crazy vibes, party vibes. But that was epic with the Dutch. And yesterday I got to do the Swedish fan march, which, you know, different levels to the Dutch, but, you know, just as fun, just as colourful. And I just love it. It's so much fun seeing the fans come out and the numbers. It's amazing.
I'm saying for a final with the Dutch and the English, but not the teams necessarily, but the fans. Like, can you imagine seeing the Orange Army coming down the Wembley track?
Oh,
with like
Wembley way, that'd be so good, wouldn't it?
It would be incredible.
Absolutely. And on the other side, you've got the England fans chanting Sweet Caroline, and there's just carnage, and it's just, war of the fans, for the Wembley final.
There are so many permutations in this Group C. Like, it is so wide open. I'm going to try and work them out. But first, let's hear from you, Rachel, because you were at Bramall Lane watching the Sweden-Switzerland game, which was a bit of a classic in the end.
Yeah, not what I was expecting, I'll be honest. I thought Sweden would definitely be more dominant, and they were, in a sense, probably they were the better team. Despite the scoreline, they did have two goals ruled for offside, so they did have the ball in the back of the net a number of times. But first half especially, they went in 0-0. Switzerland were very, very tough to break down. They had a few flurries forward as well, but I think if they had a few more clinical attackers, I know they've got Ramona Bachmann in there, who did end up scoring for them, but I do think they rely on her a little bit too much, and she kind of will go herself a lot, because there was a couple of times she kind of took off up the pitch into the box and kind of tried to get the goal herself rather than passing. But I was impressed with Switzerland. Very resilient given their gastrointestinal issues that they've been facing during the week.
Given the dodgy afternoon tea they had.
Yeah. But yeah, Sweden, I think Sweden did deserve the win for sure. But we talked about this before the Euros started about their goal scoring. They need more goals for the quality that's in, for the quality of football they play. You expect them to score more goals. And it was 1-1 for quite a while. Like, we did get that Fridolina Rolfo goal, which she absolutely deserved. For me, she was player of the match yesterday. It did go to Seeger, but I thought she was excellent. And then literally, I was still looking at my celebration photos on my camera, and Switzerland went and scored. Peach of a goal from Backman. So it was quite tight then for a good portion of the second half, especially with those goals being ruled offside for Sweden. But no, they did get the winner with an absolute peach of a goal from Hannah Bennison.
Yeah, I think it was, I was surprised. It was quite an evenly matched game, and there were so many points in the game where I thought it could go either way. And, you know, even just looking at some of the stats, I mean, it was 55 Sweden possession, 45 Switzerland, and that just sort of goes to prove that actually it could have gone either way. You know, both of them had the fair share of chances, but I just I didn't find the game overly exciting. I know it may be controversial, but yeah, I just expected that Sweden would come away with the win, and obviously they did, but just by sort of a more narrow margin than I expected. But now it does sort of throw the group. I mean, it's an interesting group because you just don't know which way it's going to go at any point. And with some of the teams now in sort of contention to make it through, you think actually they might sort of bolster their performances and think that this year could be the year that we have a sort of outside chance here.
The other thing about Sweden I found is that we've talked about how they're good in kind of all areas of the pitch. So it wasn't so much for me that their defence was poor yesterday, but I think me and Sophie were talking about this. They can get caught out on the transition. They play quite a high press, and that's where I think Switzerland were catching them out, because they do have a good solid back line, but it looked a little bit shaky at times. And like you say, Chloe, I did think there wasn't a chance for Switzerland to get ahead. So yeah, it does throw up things in Group C. I think we were both fairly, we were all certain that Netherlands and Sweden would walk out of the group, but it's looking to be an exciting final Group 3 game.
So UEFA will be updating their page at some point with the official permutations, but I'm going to try and attempt for Group
C.
Here we
go. Lock yourselves in.
Gosh.
But stay focused, Chloe.
I think everyone in this group can go through, basically, even Portugal, because there's been a couple of draws, so there's not as many head-to-head ramifications, because obviously Netherlands and Sweden drew, and Portugal drew with Switzerland, and Sweden are playing Portugal, and Switzerland are playing the Netherlands in those final games. So, and as it stands, the Netherlands are top on goals for, because they've scored 4 goals and Sweden have scored 3. So obviously they drew, so head-to-head doesn't come into play. They've got the same amount of goal difference. So Netherlands are top on goals for, right? So we're already like, we're on the third stage of how to work out who's going to top the group, right? But if Switzerland beat Netherlands, they would also have 4 points and therefore go through on head-to-head, because they beat Netherlands, and head-to-head is the first thing that you go to before goal difference in terms of who's going to get out of the group, right? So Switzerland could go through on head-to-head if they beat Netherlands. Now, I may be proven wrong because UEFA are going to update their website at some point with the official permutations, but this is what I think I've worked out. Now, Portugal, similarly, if they beat Sweden, they would also have 4 points, and therefore they could potentially also go through on head-to-head because they would have beat Sweden. Now, the issue is Netherlands beat Portugal, so if Netherlands better any result that Portugal do, they would go through via head-to-head. But what will probably happen is that Sweden and Netherlands will both win, and where it is in the table now will remain the same, and Portugal and Switzerland will be knocked out. But I believe that everyone has a chance of going through, but it is just a little bit complicated.
So I drifted off very briefly at the beginning of that, and I just struggled then to catch back on. But if there's video footage, I looked like I was following along. But sounds great. Yeah.
It's like that scene. I believe you.
It's totally. Like that scene in A Beautiful Mind where he's like scribbling on the board and there's like math equations like shh. And then,
yeah, then Rachel, me and Chloe are at the back of the class just like throwing
Rachel's airplanes. Rachel's the picture of that meme where she's like that woman's like that, yeah, with all the like equations in her head. That's Rachel. But anyway, hopefully UEFA should be updating their little website page and then we'll actually know what's going on, because I'm not the best at maths and I may have got this completely wrong and all the little rules and stuff are confusing, but we will update you on that when we know. But I mean, the moral of the story is Group C is great fun because it's wide open.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let's move on to Group B, which we're playing
Let's definitely do that.
Tuesday night. Brentford. Rachel and I, we were both at Brentford, which is becoming a bit of a vibe, actually. Yeah. I think it's a really good stadium for women's football. I'd love to see some more games there. I am hearing from fans it's a bit of a nightmare to get like public transport afterwards because Kew Bridge, like, it's just so overflowed with people, and then they close Gunnersbury, which is the next closest.
Which is stupid.
Tube and train. I don't know why they do that. It doesn't make sense, but obviously they think it's logical. So I think fans are getting a little bit frustrated with getting home. But in terms of like vibes and pitch size, and I think it's a brilliant venue. But getting onto the football, we've got a bit of logistics chat there. Germany, pretty comfortably smash Spain. Like, I think it was just very, it just felt like a very classic Spanish football scenario. You know, we know that both in the men's and the women's game, Spanish football has such a core identity to it. It's what brought them to become world champions on the men's side in 2010. It's what has delivered Barcelona to, you know, such heights in the women's game. You know, possession, quality on the ball, you know, ruthless in their pressing. But then their downfall, and we know this with all Spanish teams, is not putting the ball in the back of the net and not creating high quality chances. And that is what undid them on Tuesday night.
They've got the flair, they had the possession, they just lacked the clinical edge. And typical Germany, they were efficient, they had two shots on target, and they got two goals.
And then they just, on the pod the other day, we were talking about whether England going full throttle and, like, you know, just and going to punish Norway was going to tire them out. Well, Germany did the opposite. Two goals, 2-0, loads of subs, shut up shop, just, you know, get yourselves into a solid position, remain organised, don't expend too much energy, barely go up the other end of the pitch in the second half, make one decent save from Mariona in the second half, and that was kind of all they had to do, and it was job done, Chloe.
Yeah, it was efficient. And I think it was kind of, it was surprising. I think it was a surprising result. I think everyone was expecting more from the game. And I think, you know, Rachel touched there on the possession. And I was just having a look myself at the stats because I was thinking, OK, well, Spain have got so much possession in this game. Why are they not converting this into more chances? And, you know, they had 70% of the possession in that game and they've come away with a 2-0 loss in a game they was expected to do a lot better in. And I think it was an absolute gift, I think, in the first opening minutes, obviously with the goalkeeping error from Paños. And I think, obviously, you know, the I mean, Bull still had a load to do. It wasn't like that was an easy finish at all. She still had to beat a defender and also slot it in the bottom right-hand corner, which she'd done in a ridiculously cool, cool, calm fashion. But, you know, we did see a couple of great Spanish attacks. There was that sort of quick, vibrant flair, finding spaces in small areas on occasion. But it just felt like Germany were quite happy then just to get the goals and just let Spain sort of play amongst themselves for a bit, maintain solidarity at the back and just see out the game. And yeah, I mean, it was a masterclass, I suppose, in just being efficient, ruthless, taking your chances and seeing out. Game management was on point.
Sophie tweeted that she said the amount of times the fans around us have gone, shoot, and it did feel like that. It felt a bit like the Spanish team were trying to walk the ball into the goal. They'd get into positions at the top of the box and they'd choose to pass. They'd rather do 2-3 passes rather than just test the goalkeeper and maybe, you know, get a follow-up on a parried ball or something. I know the fans around us were getting quite frustrated.
I think that's probably where they were missing Puteus. I think she would have brought that extra additional threat at the front. And I did see that. It was frustrating to watch because it just felt like the game could have been a lot tighter and they just didn't take those chances or they felt that they had to just walk the ball in and it just didn't need that to happen.
Yeah, there was a very frustrated Spanish fan to the right of me. So I was like kind of on the gantry, which is on the same side as the benches, but kind of like higher up. And to the right of me, there was a Spanish fan with a megaphone. And I would have loved to have known what she was saying in Spanish at the end of the game, because in my head, I had decided that she was shouting angry words in Spanish at Spanish coach Jorge Wilder, because there were some questionable decisions made. We already know a lot of the fans don't like him for his squad selection and tactics. He's been given a new contract, which a lot of fans aren't happy about. And on Tuesday night, he made some interesting decisions, not playing an actual centre forward up top. He kept playing wingers there, and it didn't work. He did try and switch things up, finally brought Claudia Pina on, who everyone's been waiting to see, but that didn't work either. Aimer Sariegi is still on the bench, despite a tremendous goal-scoring record, and she is a centre forward, and she still hasn't come on. I think people are... I'm certainly getting the sense on Twitter, and like I would be feeling this too, that people are just getting a little bit fed up. And obviously not having Pateas is a massive miss, but like to potentially not get through to the quarterfinals would be ridiculous. And you've just given this man a new contract. I mean, he could be sacked at the end of the tournament.
I think that's what I find so surprising, is that no one expected going into this competition that it would come down to the game at the weekend against Denmark for Spain. I think everyone just thought that they would be a sure win, a sure bet. By now, they'd have had the tables wrapped up and they'd be heading on to the quarterfinals, and that's where their focus would be. But for them now to be going into Saturday thinking that there's a chance here they might not make it out of the group stages is a bit ridiculous.
The other game in Group B was Denmark 1, Finland 0. And this is kind of what we expected to see this tournament, and we finally got it. Pernilla Harder unleashed, carrying the team on her back. And I think we said from the off that any chance that Denmark had of getting through, it was going to be a lot on Pernilla Harder and how she could perform and how teams set up against her. And she was given the freedom and the space, and she delivered. But it was a tough old game for Denmark.
They're living on the edge, man. Like, to have to go and beat Spain to get through is going to be a tall, tall order. I'm glad they got the win. I'm glad Harder got the goal. But she did have to... She took some serious punishment in that game for all her hard work. She got a right whack in the head. And I think there was some concerns about that early on because she went straight off. But she said afterwards that the main thing was she'd hit her head and she should go off. That's kind of their immediate decision, as opposed to Van de Graaff for Netherlands, who just keeps getting hit in the head and continues to play on. Luckily it looks like she'll be fine for Spain, because that would have been an absolute nightmare for Denmark had she not been able to play in that game. Finland, wow, absolutely solid in the back. Korpela in the goal, I thought probably had player of the match performance, but I know in these tournaments they don't like to generally give player of the match to teams who've lost. But she pulled off some absolutely unbelievable saves. Chloe, I'm going to throw to you because as the goalkeeper, I'm sure you want to big her up.
Oh my God. I mean, what a performance. She was absolutely unreal. And I think we've seen some of those performances from her in the WSL when she's been able to play. And I think she was absolutely critical in keeping it a very evenly matched game and allowing Finland to still be in the game because there were so many waves of attack from Denmark. And I think she pulled off about three or four absolutely worldly saves in the first half. And that continued into the second half with that one-on-one chance that came on in the early in the second half. And yeah, I just yeah, credit to her. Absolutely bloody unreal, an absolute goalkeeper masterclass from her. Yeah, I could take tips and I will.
Also, right at the death, Danish goalkeeper Christensen pulled off an unbelievable fingertip save. It was the 89th minute, an absolute peach of a shot right up into the top corner, and she had not been busy through this game, pulled out an unreal save. At the moment kind of marked as one of the saves of the tournament. So both goalkeepers putting in a serious shift.
And in terms of permutations on this one, UEFA have updated the official page, so it's going to be much less confusing. Well, hopefully
not. I can't
not.
Wait for you to run through this.
Hopefully. That's why I hope for you, listener. So, first things first, Finland cannot reach the quarterfinals because they've lost both their games. So, that's out. So, we disregard them. Denmark will go through as runners-up and play England if they beat Spain in that final game. Spain will go through and play England if they avoid defeat because their overall goal difference is better if the game is a draw. So all Spain need to do is just not lose and they will go through. Germany are already through and going to go through as Group B winners and they're going to meet the runners-up from Group A, which it could be Norway or Austria, and that game is a straight shootout. So this a few little permutations to go, but not as confusing as Group C. So, yeah, I mean, this.
I actually understood
even
that.
Though,
yeah, that was easy.
Yeah.
Even though we had a few teams that we like had marked really as like definite qualifiers, these group stages have been really, really exciting.
I'm buzzing.
No, I was going to say, I did say I wasn't sure who was going to come second in that group. I did think it was going to be Spain, but I did think Denmark were going to be tricky, although it turns out Denmark haven't actually been all that great but still have the ability to go through should they win. So yeah, it's fun. This is what we love tournament football for.
I think I've got to share your enthusiasm for that game. Like, I'll be watching that on the edge of my seat because I wouldn't be surprised if Denmark come out and try and pull out all the stops and it goes to like a, you know, a 92nd minute goal from Spain because Denmark have just frustrated them, and or Spain just choose not to shoot when they're in and around the penalty area. So yeah, I think that's going to be the game to watch this weekend.
I will be there. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, you lucky little jeez.
Irish person.
Yeah. You.
Yeah, you. I think I might be at... I can't remember. It's my brain hurts, but I'm going to be at some games. I'm going to be
just,
at whatever...
We just hope you make it, really. We just hope you make it out that room.
I'm going to be whatever game is at MK Dons. Is that Spain, Denmark? I think so. No, it's Germany. It's Germany, Finland. Damn. No, I'm at the dead rubber. Okay. Anyway, we better move on because I've got to get out of this hotel room before I get killed. Thank you so much. We've got some more games, obviously, tonight. We've got Italy versus Iceland, France versus Belgium, and then on Friday, England, Northern Ireland, Northern Ireland are out, England are through. So I think it's going to be like heavy rotation party vibes. But we'll obviously talk about that on the pod. The Saturday morning, we'll have a special England ep for you. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Saturday to look back at that game. And if you've got any questions in the meantime, tweet us at Football Ramble, at Floyd Tweet, at Girls on the Ball, or at Morgie_89, and we'll see you all on Saturday.
Upfront is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.